Alrighty. Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for taking time out of your hectic schedules right now to tune in. This is Lynn, Mystic Healer. Spiritual emergency training. We're in a spiritual emergency on the planet. We really are, and we need to get back to love, light, peace, joy, harmony, and one nation, you know, under God, and help the U.S. come together as for one world under God, God within each person. And today I have a guest, just a divine guest, Suzanne, if she called S. Suzanne Grandin, will just call her Suzanne, and her website is birthingnewreality.com, birthing a new reality,
yes.
And I wanted to let you know she's in Arizona right now. Her occupation, she's a visionary speaker, consultant, earth wisdom keeper, spiritual architect, and leader in her specialty field, birth, death, and transition into higher consciousness. As Suzanne lived and or worked in 26 countries and cultures, and she knows that we are living in transitional times. Those who are awake and aware are being called to finish the task of healing and to move on to an aware, conscious creator mode to help bring forth a new reality of abundance for all and planetary healing. Suzanne's 70 years on this earth have been all about mastering and fine-tuning these abilities. She has been a teacher of the teachers and had occasions to seed and nurture ideas whose time has come in various places and cultures worldwide to uplift human consciousness and birth new realities. She is re-emerging in a new form once again after another near-death experience to assist humanity during these auspicious times. As a mystic, Suzanne often transmits energies through her stories as well as channeling direct energy transmissions. Her gifts are many, and her goal is to serve, and her choice is to say yes to a bright, abundant future for all. And her categories of work involve paranormal, near-death experiences, physics, metaphysics, personal development, spiritual, access consciousness, medium and channeling, mystic and seer and shamanism. Welcome, Suzanne.
Why, thank you, Lynn. It's my pleasure to be here today. I was very excited to talk with you and find out how many really synchronicities and similarities we have in our path of development so far. So thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you today.
Yeah, would you like to highlight what, you know, you said that your dad was a doctor and that your mother was an artist, and where you began, what kind of triggered your wake-up for the first time and questioning, and then some of the highlights of who you've worked with theater and music and spirituality and what have you.
Okay, sure. My father was an internist, and he passed away actually last December at the age of 99, having closed his practice 3 years earlier at the age of 96. And many of the patients that he has are still, you know, living, and they lined up in the rain to come to pay their respects. So it was really wonderful to be able to interact with so many people that he had helped over all the years. And he was also a member of the AMA. One of the things that he did was serve on the committee for John Kennedy's assassination to look into some of those things. And when he passed, actually, he came to me and let me know. I said, hey, did you find out who really shot him? And he goes, yes. So anyway, I just share that now because it came to mind. My mother was an art teacher, and she was highly creative all along. We were in many ways taken to musical theater and storytelling as a child and all kinds of different things that helped to round out. I worked in my dad's office as a teenager, working in the lab and typing up the lab reports and that sort of thing. And we always had an understanding of gratitude and an understanding of being what we would call today patient-centered or client-centered. And one of the things that was so important in my dad's life was preventative medicine. And so his influence all along was to, you know, talk to the patients, to realize that they're more than just one aspect. And he would always say, all they want is a pill, you know. And he did what he could to open up into many of the alternative practices. I know he was well aware of the power of the mind. He got into the things such as, you know, nutrition and other support. And when I was in my 20s, I had an experience to be called to move over to Netherlands, and it was part of the video work project that I was working with to do an exchange. And I went through a life-altering experience with a partner, and we brought in a union soul at that time. Now, this was before all the near-death books came out. Ray Moody's book, first book, was about ready to be published at that time. I think it was 1972, 1973. And at that time, picked up a lot of the alternatives in Netherlands. We had access to homeopathic and nutritional and energy, doing yoga and breath work, and Michio Kushi's East-West Foundation work was also there with, you know, shiatsu and do-in being the acupressure massage, and many, many different things to really figure out what was going on with our body. And basically, it was a process of a major cleanse and then a raising of the frequency. We were eating granulated crystal back then to raise the
really?
Frequency.
Really? What kind?
Yeah, really. And that was, you know, 1972, 73, and people in Holland would translate books for us, would go to the herb shops, which were just these amazing walls full of little wooden boxes with, you know, all these herbs inside. And we would translate and go through the Latin word to the Dutch word and, you know, sort things through. Back to Eden, a book by Jethro Kloss, was basically one of our guides back then. But in any case, all of these alternatives were, you know, what we needed to utilize to bring a balance into our body, to bring in this higher soul. And at that time, we were also drawing images of pyramids and other things, you know. So my father told me, I mean, he was always one that if a patient died, he would stay at the hospital and try to figure out why. He wouldn't just let it go. And so when he realized what we were going through, you know, it really stumped him. And he said, you know, most people die of what you had. You know, they called it tropical sprue. They talked about this or that, and it was none of those things. You know, we did see other kinds of doctors, internal medicine doctors and that sort of thing, but it always came back to us and our guidance and what we needed to do to integrate. So we moved back to upstate New York at the time, north of Ithaca, and had a garden and just did things organically. And from that time on, you know, my life has really been about becoming one with the earth and understanding energy, and I saw energy as the basis of everything. So along the way, I can just highlight a few things, or we'll be here the whole show in a few years of my life, but I worked for a period of time in Massachusetts in the area called North Shore. I lived in Marblehead, and I taught in the jails and the schools in the Beverly and Salem and Lawrence areas. And also, while I lived up there, I worked for Hood Sailmakers, and we had the captains Ted Turner and Ted Hood, who were with the 12-meter sailboat races that year for the America's Cup. And so I worked on the winning sails there as well. And it was all about fine-tuning and learning about navigation, learning about working with the elements, you know, really just being able to figure out how to navigate this world and be here in a way, knowing I was different. Of course, many of us know we were different and knew we didn't fit into the old system, and actually we were never meant to. I think if I could just sum it up, my life has been about bringing forth the new, not so much about fixing the old, recognizing where the old is, and then paving a way without creating fear, which I think is a really big point, to be able to make it safe for everyone to go ahead and transition into the new. And along the way, you know, technical theater, I had Rod Serling in upstate New York at Ithaca College as one of my professors. I had him all day long in all my theater and film courses and television courses. He had a summer home there and would often visit. And then I also had the opportunity to work at Cornell University in their Center for Religion, Ethics, and Social Policy, as it was known at the time. And I headed up.
And with that, are you still in contact with that department at all?
No, I'm not actually. They've gone on and changed form. They've evolved themselves. At that time, we did the Community Art and Communications Division, which was technical theater and performances. We also did the coffee house. We did a newspaper supplement with artistic things. Another, you know, it's evolved over the years. But one of the projects we did incorporated the play One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and we had access to some other people that had grants from New York State Council on the Arts, and so we were able to utilize DNA slides and project them over the chief doing his soliloquies, and we projected Nurse Ratched as the overly trained nurse and talked about the system rather than just individuals. And so it was all to raise consciousness. Everything that we did was about raising consciousness and getting the community involved in that. It was quite successful, actually.
Yes.
And a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. Are you aware of the USDAC.org, United States Department of Arts and Culture.org?
I am aware, but I have not been on their site in quite a while, but I'm happy that it's there. What would you say about that?
And then also, it's an offshoot of the PeaceAlliance.org that Dennis Kucinich started.
Yes,
and then I know that James Odia jumped in for a while with his Peace Ambassador training programs, and it's really about inner peace brings world peace, right?
Right.
And
right.
He jumped into his own Soul Awakening, I think, .com or something, program or website. However, I was just, you know, trying to figure out how, I've been working with the Orton Family Foundation. You open that website, and it's Heart and Soul Community Services.
Right.
And then at the same time, the Quakers, I feel like they're getting ready online. There's developunity.org and then develop FCNL.org, which is the Friends Committee on National Legislation.org. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my guidance keeps going back to a new age type of WPA for these heart and soul-based community services that have a good basic guaranteed income with single, you know, payer for all, or universal health care, universal good basic income, to do no harm and be part of these basic, you know, programs where they want to work and what have you, and that they'd have, you know, plenty, they're going to want to resonate. They'll resonate, you know, Resonance Academy with Nassim Hariam and what have you. That, you know, people have their sole purpose, and that is that God-given in the Declaration of Human Rights in 1948. That there's 30 of these human rights that aren't being honored. They're actually being absconded in. We're really in a situation where the Bill of Rights, too, if you read in the Declaration of Independence, you know, you read them, you'll understand, or people will understand more, that we really are here to bring in a new era of peace and divine government. They call it legislation, which means it's being more directed from the higher realms, the evolved realms of civilizations, where they've come from planets that are interstellar, you know, and galactic frequencies of love and light, energetics, that turns out everyone's soul, mind, body, soul, the soul is everyone's soul, which we're cut off from the understanding using our own intergalactic, internet, eternal information, that you can jump into the light and go backwards or forwards in time and to other planets and Merkabas and do all these things with. We are cut off from that. And I just wondered if, you know, that resonates with you and why it's so important to get these centers, body, mind, spirit, these new conscious evolutionary centers open 24/7 with all these arts and music and sound healing and frequencies and energetics and healing touch and Oh, gosh. You know, we just have, you know, all the different kinds of healing touch and Reiki and HTP programs, you know, all the things that there's just so much that kids could be taught and trained to be part of if it resonates, you know, with them.
So, absolutely. And I would like to jump in here, if I may,
yes,
and
please
share some success stories in these areas as well. First off, I want to start by saying, in the basic ways that I've learned from indigenous peoples all over the world, what is really important is a balance of the masculine and the feminine in leadership. It was at one time in the Mayan world in particular that comes to light is that the women and the men, the leaders, had to agree before anything was instituted because there are different perspectives, there are different specialties, different areas of concern, different areas of responsibility that come with creating and maintaining and sustaining what I call a living community. And that means made up of things that support life, and yes, death is a part of life, but it's seen as a transition. So we have the focus on creating the new, and it continually turns over like the soil and regenerates and revitalizes. And so with that as a basis, one of the things that happened for me when I was living in upstate New York, or I'm sorry, in Washington State, in Tacoma area, I had just come down from spending about close to a year in Canada, and I crossed the border coming into Washington State and immediately connected with a Russian doctor who was the leading pediatrician musician. He was also a musician in Russia. And he was there with a group of individuals who were educators and medical people in different ways. And he kept trying to connect with one of the doctors at the Children's Hospital there in Seattle. And for some reason, you know, there was always an emergency and the doctor had to keep being called away. And so I sat down with him, and he said, well, you're really the one I came here to talk with anyway. And so we understood a lot of the similar things about how to bring about health. His program involved music, movement, and breath. And he worked a lot with kids with asthma, you know, like a 10, 11, 12-year-olds. He created a camp at the Black Sea, and once a year they would be in that area, and then the other year they would come to America. And it was an exchange with students, children from both countries, and they would just incorporate the singing or the sound with breath and movement and overcome asthma quite easily. He did a lot of things, but that was just one example. And then I was in Washington State for 3 years prior to moving over to Egypt, and so this was 93 to 96. And during this period of time in the Pacific Rim area, we had a lot of people representing various Asian communities, and we had the Native American community. We had a lot of different cultures there. And we were trying to assist with, you know, keeping the kids off the street and out of drugs and all the things that can come when they're bored and not fitting in. And so each of these cultures would utilize their dance and their movement and their traditions, their what's termed folklore. And within the folklore, which many might not know, it was actually the fifth Dalai Lama in the Tibetan tradition who incorporated their initiations into the folklore, mainly to keep it safe so that it could still take place, and does to this day as they travel around as visiting monks and perform certain ceremonies. But the understanding of energy, the nature of energy, the nature of bringing forth health within the individual and within the community was very well understood in all these ancient cultures. And so when we get away from that, too much cement, you know, we're not touching the earth, too many influences that bring the chaos or the interference or the interruption of that which is the natural harmonic and really is beneficial for the human. And, of course, the human has to adjust and evolve along the way as things change. And we do so easily and naturally when given the opportunity. And so with the experiences in Washington State, the Tacoma community itself wanted to have a huge grant. I think it was a $600 million grant they were going for, and it was various committees were created, and somehow I ended up on a labor education and training committee, and we met week after week after week after week. We had headaches because every single time the community organizations, we had about 40 on that committee, which is quite a large committee to begin with.
Yeah.
But when we tried to bring about what we wanted, I heard you say 24/7 access to these spaces that would be healing or transformational opportunities. That's what we were asking for back then. We were asking for 24/7 access to the school systems or whatever the education money might be paying for. And we had all kinds of wonderful ideas in there from the prenatal stage right on through senior citizen. You know, it was a complete program. And I noticed that they would bring in different people on some of those weeks who would try to put other words to our words and try to create these other models. And we continually said, no, that's not what we want. This is what we want. So we were heard, and the woman who organized it all was very light-centered, and she understood, and I think that's why she pulled some of us into that committee. But in the end, the community did not get the $600 million grant, but they did get a sizable grant and start putting it into play. And after a little while, she called six of us back in from that committee, and we showed up at the meeting, and one of the questions I asked was, well, where are we? What do we have for the money that's already come in and been spent? And everybody went quiet and felt uncomfortable. I guess I had asked the big question that nobody wanted to. And I said, well, okay. I said, so we're starting with nothing. Okay. And I happened to have that day a set of papers that was handed to me that morning all about a car company that was utilizing many of the things that we knew would work. And that was an understanding that every single person that's a part of that organization, whether they're the person that dumps the trash, cleans the toilets, or the CEO himself, is equally responsible and a part of that creation.
That's so more of the cooperative businesses that Richard Wolff, the head economist, sort of on the worldwide web is talking about too.
Yes.
And it's written in the Bible too about bringing in new cooperatives. But I just
want to say one more thing on that if I can.
Yeah.
And that is that it was financially viable and successful. And that had been the argument when they were trying to implement what we wanted. They said, yeah, but it won't pay for itself. Yeah, it can't work and blah, blah, blah. But it does work.
We need to let
properly.
People know the penal industrial complex, big pharma, private insurance, and the military industrial complex. It all needs to be audited, because actually the truth is that when you get to the level that we're at right now with internet, cell phones, and language apps, and behavioral science has already proven, total proof, that all human beings, red, yellow, black, and white, have the same basic needs, same basic emotions, and big, big, big is anyone, red, yellow, black, or white, if you're angry or upset, your answers are inside of you. Time to let go, let God, or work with Source, work with a still small voice, your divine intuition. You know, teach and train people to use their soul energies, their intergalactic eternal energetics, instead of more AI. You know, because right now we're up against more people, more guns for more military propaganda. And that has you get a place to live and you get your basic income and you have health care. You know, I mean, in 883 bases in 177 countries. So bringing all the countries together is what I feel we came to do. And that's through the real Christian churches that know about thought and self-love. How can you have self-love? You can't give what you don't have, and if you don't have self-love, you can't really love others either, and you can't attract the evolving soulmates and twin flames and love, you know, love one another, what we came to do. So these centers are, if anyone's angry or upset, we can actually, as a society and community, say, you need to get some help. You need to go in and get some balancing, mind, body, spirit balancing, and give them the tools locally and globally, because we have local and global, you know, YouTubes, Ascension, Lightworkers, higher self, soul therapies, you know, HeartMath Institute programs and energetics and sound healings and art, you know, all the arts and music, comedy therapy, theater therapy. I mean, there's just so much we could be teaching and training them to do. But the money, people have to realize, if you want to heal the mental health problems, the old coping with drugs, street drugs, big pharma and warring and guns, you know, one nation under guns and drugs and war, or we're going to go to these new emotional evolving consciousness centers and programs and communities, we need to come together. You know, we really need to come together on that, at that level. And that means legislation. We've got to come together and get the information out, like today, thank you, to get the legislation in line. So that, and it becomes, then we need the media propaganda, they call it media psychology, and then we need the political science groups that are out there and bring it in. We really need to get a focus together as a species, you know, red, yellow, black, and white worldwide, with the churches, spiritual groups, green groups, and all the caring activist groups, so we can bring in all the new legislation that we really need right now.
You know, I agree with you 100% on that, which you've just shared. And one of the references I'll make also is to the idea of the various races of humans. One of the things on the medicine wheel that we did, which was 19 plus 1 equals 20 medicine wheel, which was in 2004, in a 600-mile radius around Yellowstone, was guided by a vision to a Shoshone named Blue Thunder. At the time, he was known as Benny LeBeau. And in that vision, to bring stability in the earth as a whole, he was working with the unseen, with those that we called the solar lords, who would show up at each of the sites and guide us as to where to plant the crystals and how to go about the vibration of the ceremony. But one of the things that they stated
was
that...
Wait, stop right there before you go forward. Say that again about planting the crystals, because I know the crystal grid is part of why we're able to do what we're doing right now. Could you do that before you finish? Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll just mention that on my website, birthinganewreality.com, there is an image that people can look at that is a map of America with Canada, because the wheel went up into Canada as well. And it consisted of 19 locations around in a sacred geometric pattern, with the center being near Yellowstone. And Yellowstone is a supervolcano, and at the time, due to many disturbances that may have been man-caused, there were many earthquakes in many of these locations that all seemed to be exactly the same on the scale. And in fact, the services took down the readings when we were noticing it and wanting to go about the work. But anyway, it was a bigger vision, was to help stabilize the planet. One of the ways to do that, was to plant crystals and use sound and vibration. And we planted lavender and other things in various places. Whoever came contributed to that. But there was a certain song and a certain pattern to that anchoring of that energy. And then on a certain date, I mean, that was in each of those 19 locations, and then on a certain date, which happened to be May 8th of 2004, which happened to be also the Wesak in the Buddhist tradition, on that day, we had people that were coordinating at each of these 19 locations. And it was to be a 24-hour vibration that would include things like crystal bowls, drums, and maybe sweat lodge prayers, you know, all kinds of traditions. And it was a vibration and a focus and an intention. And in some of those locations, they were so far out of the way that we didn't even know if we were going to have somebody show up. But we did. And there were people that were coming, and they didn't even know why they were drawn to that location, and it was because their color of race was needed for the balance and the harmony. So from the top down and from the bottom up, from the energies within the earth as well, and we did seed, many people weren't aware, but we did seed other energies at that time of vibration in the center, which was located on a hill in the Tetons area. And so when we did that ceremony, it brought people together. I know I was traveling, I went to over half of those sites, and it meant being on various tribal lands, people with different traditions. And they wanted to know, it's your vision, not ours, you know, and what is this, and what are you going to do? And sometimes I watched Blue Thunder sit there and have to go through, you know, his song or whatever and present himself to these people that had the right to kick him out or do whatever, you know? And mm-hmm. so we did have to honor. We didn't have time to spend weeks and months. I know I lived in Egypt. It took me 4 years to get to the very high-quality frequency oils. You know, you go through that process of getting to know and all the traditions that go with it. But we didn't have time to do that with all of these different people in the nation. And so, and Benny was not allowed to cross over into Canada at that time, so we had people from the Canadian side come in to join with us, and we planted crystals on one side of the border, and they planted crystals in the other location, and together we vibrated and harmonized. So it really took an effort for everyone to want to come together, and some knew more about it, and some didn't know. They just showed up at the last minute and participated. But that was a big call for humanity at that time, and I think it's one of the reasons, although there are many along the way, it's one of the reasons that we've gotten as far as we are. And today we still have a go. It's on go. You know, we are set to have this prosperity come in, and in a form that we can create that which is in the legislature or that which is in the systems or that which is in the communities that reflects more and serves more the needs of who we are as an evolving people today. And I think that's really important to celebrate, that we've done it in the past many times, many places. It's going on now, and people may never have heard of these things, but in little pockets here and there, the change is being influenced, and it's being implemented, and it's being successful. So
yes.
I applaud all of this work, and I really can't say enough about everything that you've said about what the possibilities are. And I'll just say one little thing that happened to me this morning. You know, I heard you say about when we have it within ourselves, it's out in the outside world as well. And yes, we need to change the paperwork out there and all the laws and however it goes. But the biggest place that we bring about the change, and it needs to happen in my way of looking at it, within each of us. I won't get into the history, but I had a medical situation in the last year. I'm 70, and I've really not needed modern medicine most of my life. But I had picked up something traveling years ago, and it finally was something that my body couldn't overcome anymore, and it took out part of my liver. And so when I went into the hospital and came out, you know, I didn't have all the insurance I should have because it wasn't my mindset and all those things. So I learned a lot in the process. And one thing I learned was about the billing. You know, I had been told something would cost, you know, so much money, and then I would get a bill that was 10 times as much, and different things. So whatever, I know I learned how to make negotiations, how to ask for what I needed. I my needs are always taken care of. But in the process, I was still paying off a bill from the hospital. And last night I went to pay that bill online, you know, and I had been so frustrated before because the whole system, they
yeah,
submit the bills
Believe
over
me.
And over.
I got that one. I was a registered nurse
forth.
In Oregon and in
yeah,
Canada,
yeah,
and
you know.
I'm into single payer. I'm
yeah.
into universal health care. So go
right.
ahead. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I had not called in. I got so frustrated. It was re-traumatizing me every time I had to deal with them. So I just kept paying, and I thought on a certain day I'm just going to call and have them readjust the whole bill again. Well, I went to pay last evening, and I heard that my balance is zero, and there was no way I could do a payment. So I called again this morning to check because we're you know, dancing in and out of certain timelines and whatever, and I just wanted to make sure I was legal, you know, keep me safe there. And again, it said the same thing. So somebody adjusted, or somehow it adjusted. I had the thought, wouldn't it be nice if I don't have to call them and go through all that it takes to get them to do this for me?
I'm going to just give a real shout-out to some of the people in the original Occupy Wall Street group that I know.
Yeah.
Jerry Ashton right now, Rip Medica. And, they pick up, and they have been paying for trying to help out different light workers here and there to help them with medical costs. It's really a program. It's just a shout-out real quick there. Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, we want to keep on this. I wanted to let you know that there was a woman that was in the, must have been... wow, must have been around 2000-ish, I can't remember. Anyway, she was on the grid on her path, and she was guided to take the crystals and bury them and do the little prayer ceremony. And she was traveling alone, and her location was not sacred or Indian territory. It was a military base.
Ah, wonderful, yes.
And she's like, well, everyone, hope you're praying for me on this one. And keep track of me. I should be out of here by tomorrow, hopefully later today. Bye.
I wonder if that was the person on the medicine wheel. We had somebody that was in Iraq, which was opposite on the planet from that medicine wheel. And, you know, knowing on energies and how everything works, we needed to have somebody plant on the other side of the world as well.
I
have no idea who that person was.
In 2003, we did, out of Portland, actually, part of it originated a Lissa Strada play, Updated.
Oh, yeah.
To Current Times. Are you aware of that play?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. For everyone else out there, it's about women getting their power back in a way that says, if you guys don't quit fighting. It was from the Peloponnesian era of wars and 27 years of warring, and the women said, no more sex. And they even got the brothel women together and said, no more sex until you guys lay down your guns, your sword, your violence and your warring. And it worked. But anyway, they did an update, right, in 03-03. I don't know. Were you involved in that? We did 1,000 of them worldwide.
Mm-mm, no, I wasn't.
And the women in Iraq, you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the women in Iraq actually did that play. They were actually in Iraq, the women in 2003, were actually, before we bombed them and invaded, the women were actually being paid all the way to their PhDs, you know, master's degrees and then PhDs by the government for their work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I just had to get that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. It's all education, you know, education, new job creation. And why I'm so adamant with my background in military, industrial complex, being born on a military base, my brother's Army, Navy, Marines, you know, I could go on and on. Anyway, yeah, working with Veterans for Peace, I really strongly, anyone, you know, you have to remember Christians, and who would Jesus bomb, who would he kill, who would he teach to poison, okay? So you really got to think about this, and a real shout out on that is Rich Procida. He's doing Bible studies for progressives and works with poorpeoplescampaign.org. And then the other one that I really want to give a shout out to is Bible Health Studies, so that we can bring in more blue, they're called Blue Zone Projects. .org in Oregon. It's out of Oregon State University Agricultural Department for Healthy Living, and it's to develop with the restorativejustice.org online. Check them out, too. You have to pick up where your resonance is on these different groups, right? You know, are you here for peace, or codepink2.org, or the new healthy edible landscaping crews with the new hydroponics, right? They're even using light therapy that they took off, they took away from the humans. In 1939, they were doing light therapy with humans, different kinds of outside light therapy. Now we know how to invoke the inner light. For energetic healing, the light of God. But still, they're doing it with plants, different kinds of plants and hydroponics in old buildings for food.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, you know, we really do need to have clean air, clean water, clean food. We don't need more, you know, warring, drugging, jailing, aerial sprays, GMOs, and poisons. So, you know, I wanted to put that out there along with solar greenhouses and year-round in places, and then we really need to, the bees. We've got to get more beekeepers and, you know, honor different, you know, new jobs, new types of jobs in education and what have you, programs that we can do, you know, because a lot of it is just media propaganda again, media psychology, or
absolutely,
it's online. You know, I mean, really, all the information we need is already being networked, and it's online. I think I told you before, I have like 3,800 alternative type businesses on LinkedIn. and they're all ready to go too, you know, and they can't compete with the old, you know, corporatocracy of big pharma or even the penal, and you know, the war on drugs. What do you think about? You bring about more drug wars. So what do? You go to Bible health studies, you get the new, you know, green civil community services, and you start growing all the edible landscaping that we need, new jobs, you know. I mean, grow all the natural herbs, all of them. You know, I was telling somebody, hey, you know, grow all of them, and the edible flowers, and the fruits and nuts and berries, right, and veggies, right? I mean, yes. We need new community food sources, new cooperative food banks and food sources, not, you know, what we've got going now. And it's all, you know, we can do this now, you know?
So, and one of the things I hear you saying that's so important is that you're shifting the model. And I know from my background in the psychology and the counseling days, it's the white man at the top is the dysfunctional model, which everybody becomes a slave underneath. And what you're talking about is, to me, sounds like that which is the circular or the spherical, the more feminine integrated way of approaching it all, so that everybody who's the gardener, you know, everybody who plants a plant or who nurtures that plant or who takes that plant and harvests it in a good way is a part of that cycle of the living energies. And in a community, when you talk about everybody having, you know, money to live on or the trading or whatever the means of exchange is going to be, every community has a need for certain specialties or for certain gifts. And for instance, a midwife, you know, how many babies are born in a community? There's not a baby being born 8 hours a day in a small community, but yet you need to have that midwife for when the babies do come in or whoever's going to attend that birth in whatever way. And so that person serving that need also needs to have a good life, and they need to be able to focus on what they're good at and what they're here to do. Mm-hmm. And deserves to have a healthy lifestyle just as much as the person who's out doing whatever the other tasks might be that require much more daily effort in the carrying out of the task. That person maintaining their energy, maintaining whatever it is that might be, they might have special herbs, they might have other ways of maintaining the vibration or nurturing the young children that are here, but they deserve to have all of their needs met as well. And so it's really a different kind of model, taking us out of that linear thinking.
Well, the military-industrial complex has to go. You got to love one another. And we have, like I said, red, yellow, black, and white, right? Mm-hmm. If you're angry, upset, your answers are inside of you. Go to the centers, open 24/7, get balanced, find out who you are and what kind of openings, what resonates with you. You know, it might be a certain kind of animal, water, you know, mammal. Mm-hmm. It might be clean air, clean water, clean foods. It might be... you know, it might be growing things. They like to go, you know, master gardener, you know, new edible landscapers and what have you. You know, I mean, it's just like, there's so much that different people would love to do, you know, and instead of volunteering for all these, like in Oregon, we have over 22,000 501c3s, you pay them. You know, you pay them to go do what they love to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And instead of realizing that if we can stop the anger from inside out of each person, if they're angry and we have these new facilities opened up, then it will really separate the chaff, so to speak. And the ones that are intentionally don't want to change and they are really violent and abusive, you know, they have to be locked up. Or maybe taken out. But most people don't. They have problems from the past. And like Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't, most of them. We didn't know. I mean, I didn't know, you know. I mean, we didn't know about loving relationships, self-love. We didn't know how to let go, work with source, open chakras, you know, get with the Holy Spirit realm versus the demonics. You know, I mean, we just, you know, being taught and trained, think about it, to kill people. Whoa! The enemy?
Yeah, it's a pretty
now,
big,
what?
Pretty big thing. Yeah. Huge. So, and one of the things I hear in all of this.
So you have to look at robotic warfare, transhuman agenda spending. And 16, we have $1.3 trillion right now. People need to know this. Go to nuclearplanet.com, nuclearplanet.com. Check it out. 16 more nuclear weapons. sites. We have $1.3 trillion going for that. Now, would any of the grandmas, there's over 100 grandmas in the grannies group now, and, you know, as far as women coming forward again, let's do it. I mean, we don't want to spend money on, you know, we can't even clean up the nuclear power waste. And look what happened at Fukushima. And 16 more nuclear weapons? I mean, those thought forms are absurd at this point on the planet, the warring thought forms. They've got to go. And so you have to retrain, reteach, transform, you know, communities and individuals with body, mind, spirit healing centers, you know, and legislation for it so that we go towards these new kinds of jobs, you know, that integrate people individually and collectively at their own heart and soul resonance.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge task, and yet I see it all as a transition and taking what has been there in whatever we call the military model. There are benefits to being able to focus, discipline oneself, a lot of things that may be traits that were used for various purposes that can now be transitioned into that which is mastering the self in a different way, and to move that creative energy into the living model, again, basing everything on life instead of death. And our language as a whole has all gone to warring, the battle on cancer, the battle on this, the battle on that, instead of that which is loving ourselves and nurturing ourselves. It's all been about separation, and that time is done now. You know, that time is done. So we can leave that in the past.
Food, land, sea, water, air. I mean, we really have to come together on those.
Yeah,
really,
and
really
the disconnect from who we are with our divine light. You've mentioned it so many times about the divine energy. Most people have had that separation, whether God was outside of them or, you know, some power over them, the IRS or whoever, you know, the organization was that was going to come and take everything from them. And we need to grow beyond that image, because that image, if we don't give it power, it dies itself. It dissolves away. There's nothing supporting it. So when we really focus on that which creates life and living energy and healthy lifestyle, and notice and accept ourselves where we are, it doesn't matter. I've had a long path. You've had a long path. You know, we dived into the darkness so that we could keep on growing and bring ourselves into that which is the light. And when one comes all the way through, one doesn't have to trust anymore or hope or all those things. It's a knowingness. We are now in that position, and the universe supports us and reflects that to us each and every day. I'm so grateful I don't have to get on the phone and make a difference in that bill, that it's now zero balanced and out of my life, you know, and I can move on. And how easily that happened.
There really is. I mean, just there's so many beautiful groups out there that are coming into what some people call the true divine higher Christ consciousness, or, you know, new possibilities from self love, loving each other, and Mother Earth too, realizing mm-hmm. we're all connected on this little house in the multiverse. It's just a house. You know, really, that's what I try to explain to people in the multiverse. And we're capable, you know, finally with internet, cell phones, and language apps to really, you know, redevelop all the thoughts, the importance of your thoughts individually, right? Dr. Emoto's work and in the Bible and, you know, the power of your thoughts. So what are you thinking, you know, is part of what you're creating or attracting to you. And, you know, we're finally getting into the 12 basic, people can look those two up to 12 basic, they're called 12 universal laws, you know, or cosmic, 12 cosmic universal laws. They are real and they are cosmic, not just earthbound, you know, that we just weren't taught any of this, you know. I mean, we moved every 2 years, and there was an enemy out there, and, you know, my brothers are in wars, and you know, and everyone we knew, and it's just like, you know, survival, you know, and just every day somebody's dying, somebody's moving, somebody's coming, somebody's gone. It's like, whoa, how did we get talked into that one? You know, where was the love?
So
we really want to get back to loving one another and Mother Earth, Mother, you know, our Mother Earth. Like, we really need Mother Earth, all of us.
Yes, and I want to bring up the base word education, because it comes from the word educe. And educe means bringing forth that which is already there. And so rather than teaching people, what we need to do is allow for them to unfold their own potential. And there are many ways to do that. Tools can be taught, techniques can be utilized, but really we don't want to make it another, you know, layering on of more of other people's opinions and thoughts.
No,
what we
the
want
answers
to do
are within
support.
Them.
Yeah,
all
support
answers,
what's already there.
Their purpose, who they really are, their life lesson, the answers. That's the other thing. Thank you for saying that. So critical, because you can Google that too, where we couldn't before. The answers are within. So each person, you know, again, if you're angry or upset, we need these new centers for balancing, relaxation, and law of attraction. Like, are you, what kind of music, what kind of art, singing, what kind of comedy therapy do you need? Maybe theater or, you know, what really gets you like, oh, I like that. And that, what you like, are law of attraction, right? The others that are in that, you know, dog lovers or cats or, you know, I even have a lady, she wrote the foreword to my second book, Angels Know All, and, you know, she's got two master's degrees from New York University, but really her thing is exotic bird rescue, so bird therapy, you know, and then I'm working with these other artists this last week, and they don't even know each other. It's all bird people. Like, whoa. And then I heard, you know, they're having these, all these, you know, chemtrails and, you know, what are we doing spending, you know, how much money is going into chemtrails? You know, 100 patents? Go to geoengineeringwatch.org, everyone. Please stop it. We don't want to spend money that way, you know. I mean,
I think this
what
is an opportunity I can interject something on chemtrails, if it's okay with you, Lynn.
Sure.
Has anybody ever thought about communicating with the various substances that are in those chemtrails? Because I know there is at least one person on the planet doing that, and maybe others. And they're communicating with the unseen, which, again, may be a little bit beyond what we're talking about right now. But the possibility is there to communicate with those various makeups of the chemtrails and ask them, are they serving their life purpose? And maybe in seeding some thoughts there as well, they bring about the change in how that will affect the rest
of
the planet.
I've actually seen our star brothers and sisters sweep the sky. If you look up sometimes, we never, when we grew up, saw actual, you know, sweeping. Yeah. I mean, they actually go like up and away. Yeah. They're actually, you know, being swept by some of our star brothers and sisters' ships to help us. But we really have to, on the ground crew, we're the ones that have to say, no, no, this isn't what we want to do with our air quality. You know, just So
it's choosing
the ground crew,
to see the whole.
Choosing to see the whole and realign it.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, and big ag needs to be broken up, not just for the farmers, but, you know, for organic, you know, and they need to have a good life. You know, a comfortable life, that the old, you know, farmers too, you know, obviously, but I know they want their children to have, you know, some organic foods too, and clean air and clean water, and, you know, we got to go, oh, and there's renewable energy job sites, everyone. You might check those out, what resonate with you, what kind of, you know, energy, renewable energy job sites. And there's new banking systems being set up. It's called the New Resource Bank. You can check it out. They're working with cleanup of the ocean projects and what have you. So, you know, it's just really getting people aware that we're all connected, right? We're all connected on our little house. Red, yellow, black, and white. Our little Mother Earth here in the cosmos. And we really need to come together to get in America, our USA is supposed to lead the planet to the real Pledge of Allegiance. Because in civics, you know, like every school, every city council, chamber of commerce, you know, state-led legislation and national, you start with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Well, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, all love and divine, you know, God within each person, right? Human rights.
Yep.
And, you know, for freedom and justice for all. And so if you go to Heart and Soul Community Services, you go beyond race, you go beyond religion, you go right beyond gender problems, and you go beyond political divides. It's over. It's over. It gives the power back to the people, we the people in the communities.
We the people with the human potential ready to unfold even more at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just have a couple of minutes left, so why don't you go ahead and give them all the information so people can, you know, get in touch with you and, you know, get your contact and all that, all your contact phones or whatever you want to give them.
Great, thanks, Lynn. My website, it's a new website called birthinganewreality.com. And on there, I'll mention also, if you go to the services area is where I'm posting any of the shows or information of events that are coming. In the local area of Sedona, I'm going to be teaching classes beginning in January, and there'll be some other events coming as well. But I've just emerged, and so you'll find, you know, there's email there, there's contact form on the website you can write in. The office phone is there, as well as you know, anything else that might be of interest to you in different areas. I don't have a lot of products right now. I have books that were placed on the shelf. I have a light language project that'll come out later on. But we are a work in progress. And at this point in time, I'm just happy to be here and to be able to reemerge once again and connect with people like you, Lynn, who are just amazing in so many ways, such a networker too. And so I just thank people. Be happy to hear from you. And if anybody has other opportunities for me to be of assistance in whatever way, please contact me. I'd be happy to do so, and I honor and celebrate each and every single one of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I want to give a shout-out to BBSRadio.com and KJAJ-FM, 98.1 FM here in the Southern Oregon coast out of Coos Bay area. And also, too, this program will also be a YouTube. Thank you. So you can go to, as a YouTube, you can share it, Spiritual Emergency Training, BBS, Boy Sam, Radio or Beyond Bullshit, radio.com, station, and then the number one. So much love to everyone. We just thank you so much for tuning in today, and let's come together in your activism for either you know, whatever it happens to be in the environmental systems or in the emotional coping systems with higher realms instead of all the drugs, guns, and wars and what have you. We love you. We thank you. And the bullying and violence, we can stop inside out now. So let's get together and bring in the new conscious evolutionary communities and community service centers. And we thank you so much. We're going to go out today with Planet of the Light by Sarah Adams. Much love to all. Much love and many, many thanks. Have a blessed afternoon and life. Thank you.